Good morning.
Good morning.
Be on the record. This is the pre-hearing conference to address scheduling and procedural matters for the appeals of the noise variance. It's consolidated case number HC18001, and there are seven appeals in all. My name is Barbara Ehrlichman, and I'm the deputy hearing examiner. I will be presiding over this matter. I will ask the party representatives to introduce themselves and spell their last names. Starting over here.
Patrick Downs, D-O-W-N-S, for the city.
Matt Hewitt, H-U-O-T, Assistant Attorney General for the Washington State Department of Transportation.
Deborah Cade, C-A-D-E. Also Assistant Attorney General for the Washington State Department of Transportation.
Michael Roberts, a resident at Hill Climb Court on Western Avenue.
And,
or
okay.
E-R-T-S.
All right, and your appeal number six, right?
Thank you. Yes.
John Gleason, 98 Union Homeowners Association, Gleason, G-L-E-A-S-O-N.
Andrew Constantaris, that's K-O-N-S-T-A-N-T-A-R-A-S. I don't have to do that too often. 2440 Western Avenue, Site 17, resident in HOA.
Okay.
And I'm K-A-Y Smith, hyphen Blum, S-M-I-G-H, hyphen B as in boy, L-U, and as in mother. And I represent the Pomeroy Homeowners Association, along with Jackie Schwartz, a second individual in our building. Jackie's out of the country.
Okay. So
we have some more people that I think are
anyone who filed an appeal needs to be sitting up at the table. I think we're missing
Michael Petter, right here.
Yeah, mine's Michael Petter, B-E-D-D. And I'm the general manager of the Four Seasons.
Okay. Excuse me for a minute, I'm just trying to get organized here. Okay, so Ms. Smith Blum, you filed an appeal under 003, mm-hmm. And Ms. Schwartz, filed it under 004, a separate appeal.
Right.
Okay, so there's two of you there.
Yeah. And originally, David Bain, B-A-H-N, filed an appeal, but we set that aside. And just consolidated our fees under our two appeals. He's also a resident of Pomeroy.
Okay.
But we set that aside.
Yeah, I don't see that on my list.
Okay.
All right. Before we go any further, I want to make a disclosure, and that is that probably 20 years ago or so, I don't remember the exact number of years, I worked in the same office as Patrick Downs, who's representing the city here, and I actually supervised him for the period of time he was at the office, that particular office. I don't see that that will have any effect on or any bearing on my decision in this matter or how I intend to proceed with this matter, but I wanted to make that disclosure, and I'd like you, if anyone has any objections, please raise them now. No? Okay, great. Thank you. So there are several matters to cover today. Scheduling, witnesses and exhibits, pre-hearings, motions and discovery, and some issue clarification. Before we get too far into this, I'd like to ask if the parties have representatives have been in contact with one another, whether there's been any discussion of settlement amongst the parties.
There haven't been. Mr. Constantaris and I have been, and Deborah Cade for this WSDOT, we've been in contact regarding some discovery requests that he's already submitted. But WSDOT is open to this, some settlement negotiations that the other parties are.
I noticed, Mr. Roberts, that you in particular had mentioned that mediation of the times for the loudest noises could be something that you would be interested in discussing in a mediation setting. We do have access to the Interlocal Conflict Resolution Group. These services are provided to parties before the hearing examiner at no cost. And so we'd encourage you to look into that. And if you needed more information, we're happy to provide that to you. So I would ask if there is some bona fide interest in mediation, that we include that in our schedule of events beforehand.
I haven't discussed this with anyone else, so I have no idea of interest of the parties.
We should include it in the schedule, but I don't want to see it extend the schedule because the.
And I think it's fair to say that I'm very unlikely, so I agree with you. I don't want to extend the schedule out because I'm. It's hard for me to see how we would mediate without just completely removing it. So I don't want to create any false hope or delays that aren't necessary.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, then I will leave it up to you to figure that out, and we'll go forward with the rest of this scheduling process. So what I am looking for right now is some dates, which would be four contiguous days, maybe even five. For this process, given the number of parties we have and the number of issues. I have the dates of June 18th through the 22nd, July 16th through the 20th, or July 30th through the 3rd. So if you could, I'm going to ask the
Can you say those ones more again? I'm sorry.
Sure. The 18th through the 22nd. July, or that's June, July 16th through 20th, or July 30th through 3rd.
Thank you.
I guess it, I'm going to go through each round of dates, and then if you could, just acknowledge whether or not you're available. And I'll start with the city.
The city's available on all three of those.
All three?
Yes.
Okay.
I have an expert witness. I haven't obviously confirmed her availability, so it has to be subject to that.
Okay. Mr. Hewitt, Ms. Kay?
So I have several conflicts.
I'm sorry.
I believe we're available, but we would have the same issue with confirming that our expert witness is available.
All right. Mr. Roberts.
I'm available on all of those dates.
Okay. Mr. Gleason.
At the moment, it's looking like available for all those dates.
Andrew, I'm available all those dates.
Thank you.
I do have the expert issue as well.
Okay.
Hi, and I'm Lisa Blum. The week of June 18th, I have two or possibly three conflicts depending on the hours.
Okay.
And then the week of July 16th and the week of July 30th, I'm available.
Okay. Great.
And with Jackie, I don't know. I'll have to email her. They're typically around in the summer, but.
Okay. Well, since she's not here, I think we're going to have to assume she's available.
Yeah. I do know that she works during the course of the day, so it would mean her taking off. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it looks like the July 16th through 20th is the first available set of dates that we have. Typically what we do when we schedule is we work backwards from there in terms of figuring out when witness lists are due, exhibit lists, et cetera.
I think the other restriction or factor for me is when discovery is complete, because we'll need time to review the documents. So.
Okay. So, and I just want to remind you if when you speak to identify yourself by name.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Andrew Constantaris.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about discovery for a moment. How many of the appellants are engaging in discovery here?
His list covers most of mine.
Okay. Anybody else? No. Okay. And do you anticipate issues with receiving documents?
I think the challenge
in a timely manner.
The challenge is what I sent was very broad, and because I don't know where things are or how much there is, so I was looking for at least a minimum amount. Andrew Constantaris. A minimum amount of information so I can establish a pattern or practice. But that's what we're discussing right now. So I'm not trying to ask for 3 million pages of whatever. I just want to know what's recent, so I can compress the time and maybe even refine some more, depending on, to make sure I don't just get nothing. So that's kind of my.
Yeah, we've had this request for about a week, and the client's been working on gathering documents, and we'll discuss this after the pre-hearing conference, and because my goal is to be able to provide it to him within the 30 days that we have to respond and not to cause any schedule extension.
Okay.
Thank you.
And Patrick Downs for the city. We received a discovery request yesterday. I've not had initial conversations about narrowing that discovery. I presume we'll engage in that.
Yes.
We, too, will, I think, 30 days to fully respond to that discovery request.
And I'm sorry, Andrew Constantaris, it seems to me that with this schedule, that would be very reasonable.
Okay.
In terms of being able to consume.
Okay. That's good to know. And then does anyone anticipate doing pre-hearing motions?
It's going to depend on what I get. I'm sorry. I don't know. But it might be something. I'm hoping not.
There were some SEPA issues raised that we might address in a pre-hearing motion.
Okay. Okay. Well, I would like to encourage that pre-hearing motions be filed as quickly as possible. And in that vein, Ms. Cade, if you were going to file one, could you do so by May 1st?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. So we'll get into
it. April has gone by really quickly here. And I'm out of the office pretty much this whole week. That would really pretty much require me to do it next weekend.
Okay. Well, we could.
Can we say the end of next week, May 4th?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
May 4th is fine. And then any responses would be due on the 11th of May, which is the following Friday. And then Ms. Cade, you could have the opportunity to reply on the 18th.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I think we are down to exhibit and witness list due dates. Excuse me. So typically, what happens is that the appellants and the respondents will be exchanging witness lists and exhibit lists. And then you, excuse me, exchange exhibits amongst yourself. You do not need to file them with the hearing examiner's office. They will be introduced during the hearing itself if you choose to go ahead and introduce those. So the exhibits must be exchanged at least 7 days ahead of the hearing schedule. And with this schedule, we could probably even expand that out a little bit if the parties so choose, so you have a little more time to get ready for the hearing.
Andrew Constantaris, I have a question about once we get the list from WSDOT or SDCI, can we have rebuttal witnesses that we proffer if we have like a day to submit something like that?
Yes, you can.
Okay, thank you.
So I'm going to suggest the date of July 9th July 2nd for the exhibits being exchanged. That way you'll have 2 weeks to work with those exhibits before the hearing. Michael Petter?
Yes.
You were available for the...
I'm available, yeah.
Sorry, it looks like I might have overlooked you.
You did. I was happy to be overlooked.
I'm sorry. Very sorry. You're so quiet back there. Okay. Let's see. Where was I? Okay. We'll have the city provide exhibits on July 2nd, as well as the appellants. And the lists, let's see if I can get this right. The respondents lists, which would be the city, would be due the 25th.
Of June.
Of June, yes. And the appellants list would be due the 18th of June.
And Ms. Examiner Patrick Downs, clarifying on the 25th, both the city and WSDOT's exhibits?
Well, WSDOT considers itself an appellant or WSDOT, a respondent?
Deborah Kaye, this is, WSDOT is kind of in both situations here, and we don't anticipate, even though WSDOT filed an appeal, we don't anticipate that part of the appeal to be resolved. And so we aren't likely going to be putting on evidence challenging the decision. So I think that WSDOT can be treated as a respondent.
Okay. So that will be for the exchange of exhibit and witness lists. I'm sorry if I didn't make myself clear. And so 18th for the appellants, June 18th, and June 25th for the city and WSDOT.
Andrew Johnson Terrace, for any rebuttal, what date would you say? I'm happy to make it a day. I just want to know what the period is.
I see. Let's see. July 2nd,
okay,
for any rebuttal witnesses from either the respondents or the appellants.
Andrew Constantaris, is that also, can we also do a rebuttal exhibit if that's by that same date?
Yes, but you'll have to supply the exhibit that same day,
yep,
as well.
Yep.
Okay. So I'd like to go through each of the appellants and ask them how many witnesses they anticipate right now and the volume of exhibits they might anticipate. And it's not a number that you're going to be stuck with. It's just sort of a general ballpark idea of where we are at in terms of the amount of testimony we're going to have and the number of exhibits. It helps us figure out scheduling, how long to assume the hearing is going to take. So we'll start with you, Ms. Smith-Blum.
Okay. So I anticipate one possible witness and
okay,
two exhibits.
Okay. Right, Mr.
Constantaris? I can't see having more than five witnesses, but it's probably going to be more like three. And
one of them will be an expert?
Yeah.
Okay. And how about the volume of exhibits?
It's probably 10 to 15.
Okay. Mr. Gleason.
Zero witnesses, zero exhibits.
Okay, so you're just planning on going with a case presented by somebody else? Because if you don't have witnesses or exhibits, you're not presenting any evidence.
That's correct.
Okay. Mr. Roberts.
One witness and probably one exhibit, one or two.
Mr. Petter?
I feel like I'm the ignorant one at the table here, so forgive me.
No, that's all right.
I have no idea what an expert witness in what would be. Is noise?
Right.
So
if you had
good
someone.
Sense of hearing. I'm very confused on what the expert witness would be, and I'm also, apologies, I'm also confused what exhibit I would need to bring.
Okay. So witnesses are used for a number of purposes, but they allow evidence to come in the record. They introduce record or evidence into the record. So.
I always thought evidence was after the fact, not. I'm not a lawyer, I'm not pretending to be one.
I understand.
So I don't know how you bring evidence in advance of something that hasn't happened yet.
Well, you introduce evidence in the course of the hearing through a witness. That's the normal course of events here. And an expert witness would be someone with a degree who's qualified in a subject. There are certain rules under the hearing examiner's rules of procedure on qualifications for a witness or expert witness, excuse me. So you'd have to read through those to determine how to introduce an expert. And that would be someone like a medical doctor or a noise expert, those sorts of people.
So I would assume if I'm not bound by my answer, then I'll say one witness and one
exhibit. One exhibit. Okay. Great. Thank you. And WSDOT?
Deborah Cade for WSDOT. We anticipate calling two witnesses, and I don't have a good handle on the number of exhibits. It's probably at least 10.
Okay. And one of those would be an expert?
One of the witnesses will be an expert witness. One will be a project engineer, and the other will be a noise expert.
Okay. And the city?
Patrick Downs. We'll have two witnesses. One will be an expert. I would say less than 20 exhibits.
Okay. Thank you. All right. I want to turn to the issues that are presented here. And first of all, I know you all received the letter that I sent out on Friday, and I would just like to hear from anyone who thinks that there are additional, or there may be additional issues other than what was already listed on this list. Yes, Mr. Yeah. Constantaris.
The SEPA threshold issue,
okay.
I'd like to see discussed. And I just wanted to also clarify that the failure to meet criteria of co-director's role, that includes the sub-arguments that I made.
It does.
Yeah,
it does.
Okay.
And I was actually putting the SEPA issue under the meeting the criteria of the code, since the code requires SEPA. Is that acceptable to you?
I think it's kind of a separate issue. But
we can break it out. It doesn't really matter. Okay. Anyone else?
So, okay, Smith Blum, just to clarify, are you saying that if there was something that we failed to list specifically on our appeal that we can add in now?
No.
I didn't think so.
No.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify.
No, I'm only saying that after reviewing your issues, if you feel like your issue isn't covered in these broader issues that I listed in my letter, I'd like to know that.
Ms. Examiner, Patrick Downs, can you provide clarification to what you see falling under the objections to process director used in granting variance?
Yeah, I believe it was Mr. Roberts who... voiced an objection to process on the limitation of the comment period and survey methods provided. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Thank you.
Yeah. And that was Appeal 18006. So what I'd like to do is figure out how we can group these issues on each day. So it makes sense, and if you, for example, don't have an issue on a particular day, you don't necessarily need to come to the hearing if you don't want to. So you're, of course, welcome to come if you want. So what I will do is I will take these issues, and I will try to group them during either a morning block of time or an afternoon block of time. So that we have an organized schedule of how these issues will be presented. Okay.
I have a question that's deprecated for WSDOT. When you talk about grouping the issues by or setting aside time for issues, does that mean that the city and the state would respond to those at each of those times, as opposed to responding all at once? Maybe my question's not clear. In other words, if you have a, say if you have a morning set aside to talk about alternatives to the construction schedule, and another morning to talk about some other issue, we have a witness that would address both of those. Would he testify in two different times, or would he address all of these things at once?
Well, if we have issues with the schedules or witnesses, we can always make accommodations during the day. For example, if he's going to come in the morning and address a certain thing, we could take the evidence on the other issue that he's testifying on to save him from having to come twice to the hearing.
I don't think that'll be a problem because he'll probably be here for the whole hearing.
Okay.
As the project representative, but I'm just wondering in terms of how we put our case together. You know, are we going to be calling the same witness four or five times?
You might be. Okay. Yeah, you might be.
Okay.
I think it makes, given this number of appellants, it makes sense to do it this way because, from what I can tell, a majority of the issues have to do with alternatives to the construction schedule and then the need for better public outreach tools to work with the public on ongoing issues during the construction. I think if once we deal with those two, the other issues are quite a bit more streamlined.
And just a follow-up question there, I'm assuming that the city and the state put on their witnesses first as opposed to the appellants in this case. Is that correct?
No, I think the appellants would go first because they are they are appealing.
Andrew Costanteros, I don't know about the process. Will we be able to cross the witnesses?
Absolutely.
All right,
yeah.
Thank you.
So I will issue a pre-hearing order, and I may issue a second pre-hearing order with the schedule for the hearing as it develops, you know, with these issues. So I think we've covered pretty much everything. Is there anything else the parties would like to raise at this time?
Michael Roberts.
Yes.
I'm not clear on the process. If there were to be some modification, for example, in the exhibit, I specified one and one, you know, the exhibit or some other matter, do I submit through that electronic filing method or just?
You don't need, you mean instead of one exhibit, you might be submitting three?
Something
no.
Like that.
No, you don't need to do that. It's just a ballpark number so that we have some gauge of how large a case this is going to be for the office.
And a follow-up to that, since I've been identified as the person who introduced the objection to the survey and the time period, that part of the process, I don't know if others are interested in that or not, and I may have some, well, I guess when I bring a, if I bring a witness, then that will handle the issue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just adjusting to the thought that that's my issue, you know.
okay.
Yeah.
I actually raised that as well. So
oh, you did? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Right. And just recall that if you haven't raised an issue in your appeal statement, you can't join in with somebody else and raise it with
right.
them. You're limited to the issues that you did raise in your appeal statement.
That I'm aware of. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, one last thing. I would encourage everyone to take a look at the hearing examiner rules of procedure on appeal hearings so you familiarize yourself with the process that we have here. I will issue a pre-hearing order this afternoon and reflecting on the dates that we have set already. And is there anything else anyone would like to bring up right now? Great. Well, thank you for your cooperation, and get the hearing reporter out, and we'll be off the record.